Welcome to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast. Every 2 weeks, we explore news and issues affecting hunters, anglers, and conservation across the northeastern United States. If you enjoy the content here, be sure to subscribe to our print or digital versions by calling 800-535-5191 or visit our website at outdoornews.com. Now, here's your host and a man who claims he's immune to buck fever, New York Outdoor News editor Dan Ladd.
This episode of the Great Northeast Podcast is brought to you by the Family Forest Carbon Program, a collaborative initiative created by two nonprofit organizations, the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy, assisting landowners in improving the health of their land with long-term sustainable forest management practices while providing guaranteed annual income. Learn more at familyforestcarbon.org. Welcome to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. Happy to be along, welcoming everyone out there a very happy Thanksgiving. We hope you're traveling safe ahead of this storm that is about to blanket all of New England and even some of the coastal states. This could be an interesting one, folks. We're just going to have to wait and see. Even now, as I record this, we're still about a day out from the storm. And there's still some questions about where this thing is going to track, how much snow we're going to get. In New York and northern New England, it looks like some of the more mountainous, higher elevations areas could get several inches of the white stuff. I know that's good news for deer trackers out there still trying to put a tag on a buck before deer season wraps up. And speaking of that, deer season, well, by the time we talk to you again for the next podcast, the one after this one, we'll be through deer season here, at least in New York State in the northern zone. The rifle seasons in both the northern and southern zone are going to wrap up on December 8th, and then we've got a week of black powder hunting in part of the Adirondack region, not the entire region, and then 9 days of black powder hunting. It's actually into a Tuesday. Anyways, it goes through the 17th of December in New York's southern zone. We know Pennsylvania is getting ready to open their rifle season here right after the Thanksgiving holiday, but meanwhile in states like Maine, the deer season kind of winds down right around the end of November. Speaking of deer, we're not hearing much about the chronic wasting disease discovery in a red deer in a facility in Herkimer County, so I guess that's good news. No news is good news. But other than that, we're just getting ready for the Thanksgiving holiday. And for this podcast, you're going to be stuck with me. Thanksgiving is a big, big deal to me and to our deer hunting brethren. Although our party's a little quiet this year, that's just the way things have worked out with families. But traditionally, it's been a big hunting day. And with that, there's been quite a few stories to tell. And in the spirit of Thanksgiving and storytelling and sitting around, I want to tell a few deer stories during this podcast. And one other thing I want to know is this is our 60th edition. That's right. This is the 60th time we've recorded this. I don't know where we find the material and the guests, but we just keep going. And we hope you keep listening, and we appreciate that. Anyways, we're going to be right back with some Thanksgiving deer stories and more right after this.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Vermont, Massachusetts, or New York, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org and enroll today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and we're about to take a break for the Thanksgiving holiday here. Great, great time. A lot of fond memories of Thanksgiving. Growing up, becoming a young hunter, I can remember turning 14 in the middle of November. That's when my birthday is, and right after that, getting my small game license and running around the woods trying to track down a partridge or a gray squirrel or a rabbit. Boy, I was hungry for the experience. What a great time that was growing up. But the real highlight was being welcomed into the deer hunting party, the brethren, finally able to carry a firearm instead of a BB gun following my dad through the woods. I know things were different back then in the 60s and 70s when a lot of us older hunters were growing up and learning about it. These days, you know, a kid can go out here in New York at the age of 12 and hunt deer, but it wasn't like that when I was young. So when you got to be 14, 15, 16, 17, started carrying a firearm, even if it was for a small game, it was a big, big deal. But let's go back a little further. I got thinking about this ahead of this podcast, and also with the storm that's coming into the Northeast here for this Thanksgiving, I recall a Thanksgiving when I was very, very young. And some of you folks who were alive in the early 1970s might remember the blizzard that we got around Thanksgiving in 1971. That's some of the earliest recollections I can recall in my life. And I remember my dad and uncles going out to leave the house to go hunting that morning, and it was snowing. And it wasn't long, and they were right back at the house. I guess they tried to get up a hill on one of the hills on the road we live on, and even with the trucks and four-wheel drive, they couldn't make it up the hill. Did a little research on this storm, and to this day, it is still number one for the top 10 greatest snowstorms in Albany, New York, courtesy of the National Weather Service. Now, that storm, which took place on November 24th and 25th in 1971, dropped 22.5 inches of wet snow in the Albany area. And, of course, that's what a lot of folks said about that storm. I read some reports. They said the snow was so heavy, it was caving in barns, it took down trees, there were power outages. And it was just quite the storm, and that's one that we've talked about quite a bit to this day. I mean, when I sit down probably this week with my family, we'll remember the big storm of 1971. I can remember other storms on Thanksgiving Day. I remember one in the late 70s. I also remember it snowing. I was home from college. I'm going to say 85 or 86. There was a pretty good snowstorm. But boy, if there's one thing I remember about hunting on Thanksgiving Day, seems like through the years, it's been cold. I can remember some very, very chilly Thanksgiving mornings sitting out there in the woods. Back to this report from the National Weather Service for the biggest November snowstorms in the Albany area. A couple more were November 14th and 15th, 1972, just a year after the big storm. Another one you may remember, 17th and 18th, 1980. I think I can recall that one. And in 2014, November 26th and 27th, I remember that. We got quite a good jag of snow from that storm in the Adirondacks. So big storms in November are not unheard of. And in the case of the one we've got coming up, it could cause quite a mess for Thanksgiving Day travelers. So hopefully everybody's getting where they got to be on Wednesday and can stick it out through Friday and into the weekend when it's supposed to get a little colder throughout the entire Northeast region. And I guess that's just part of the story, having a big, big storm on Thanksgiving Day. Anyways, I don't know about you. Can you remember where you were, what you were doing? Were you alive in 1971 when that big storm came through? Or do you remember some of the other storms that have come through in the 80s and even the 90s? Anyways, that's one for the ages. Getting back to some deer hunting stories, got quite a few more to tell you. Stick it out here with Thanksgiving Day. I can remember one of my greatest hunts took place on Thanksgiving Day, and I was writing about that not too long ago. In my former job, before I became editor of New York Outdoor News, I used to take a lot of vacation during the deer season. You kind of needed it to get away from the grind a little bit, and I would always save a couple of weeks for deer hunting. And I can remember I actually had to go back to work on Black Friday. It was just a circumstance thing. There was something going on with my job. I needed to be there, so Thanksgiving Day of that year was the end of a two-week vacation for me. And I had been pounding the woods, busting my tail. Our guys make deer drives, and I'm usually one of those guys who plays the role of the dog, going back and forth, climbing mountains. But anyways, I thought I had blown my chance earlier in the vacation when I missed a buck. And as it turned out, my rifle had gotten knocked off. Now, I'm not making excuses here, but I had fallen with my rifle, and the lesson learned is whenever you do that, folks, check your gun, whether you use a scope or iron sights or whatever. I was on a trip up north and had taken a spill and didn't think to check my gun. And a week or two later, I was walked up on a buck and a doe, and I was watching them for quite a while. In fact, I was down on one knee waiting for a shot at the buck, got the shot, and promptly missed. Checked my gun the next morning, and it was 6 inches low and about 4 or 5 inches to the left at 40 yards. So what was it beyond that? So I eventually got the gun sighted back in, and a week later, it was Thanksgiving Day, cold morning, and boy, I remember really being tired. But now our tradition on Thanksgiving Day is to get a crew together and maybe make one or two drives. We're usually out of the woods by 11 o'clock, if not sooner, because folks want to get home to their families and get on with their Thanksgiving. So we try to squeeze in a drive or two when we can, when we have a party, and we get what we get. And sometimes we get a big party. We've got some folks that are maybe home for the holiday, or maybe they have the day off and they haven't had a chance to hunt a lot. And we never know who's going to show up. And other years, it's such as this year, there's not a lot of availability. We have a smaller party. And on that day, we had, I think, 6 people, and we were making a couple drives. And I remember going out to this one watch. I had put my young cousin, who was just a teenager at the time, on what we thought would be the good watch. And I said, well, I'm just going to skip over the hill here. And rather than go all the way down to the next watch, I thought I'd stay a little closer and a little tighter to the hill. And I just got down over this hill from him, and where I could kind of see the same runway that I would be observing if I had gone down farther. And sure enough, a beautiful 8-point buck come running out of the woods, and I was able to make the shot. And that, to this day, is my only Thanksgiving Day deer. That will maybe change tomorrow, but we'll see about that. If I do go on Thanksgiving Day, it will probably be in the southern zone where I had the opportunity to harvest an antlerless deer. Fortunately for me, I filled my buck tag a few weeks ago, and so I've been spending some time in the southern zone trying to fill that doe permit. But getting back to that story, you know, never give up. But the one lesson that I really took from that, and something that I would share with you, is to check your firearm during the season, especially if you're like me and you stumble around a lot in the woods and you fall, or you bang your gun on rocks and trees and things like that. You know, if you're a mobile hunter who is covering a lot of miles, and I've got close to 40 miles on my legs so far this deer season, you may want to check your gun every once in a while. I make a habit of that. I just I go up to the range and I put a target out at 50 yards or 25, and I put a couple rounds through and just make sure that she's on. So there's the lesson. Hey, we're going to be right back with some more Thanksgiving deer stories right after this.
In the world of deer hunting, knowledge is the key to success. Introducing OutdoorNews.com, your ultimate companion in the pursuit of the perfect hunt. Stay up to date with the latest hunting tips, gear reviews, and regulations for your state and your area. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, OutdoorNews.com helps you elevate your hunting skills to unprecedented heights. Visit OutdoorNews.com and experience the thrill of the hunt like never before. OutdoorNews.com, where hunters become legends.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. And this is our 60th edition of the Great Northeast Podcast. So I want to personally thank everyone who chimes in and listens to this, who supports us, who reads the publication. You folks make it all worthwhile, and we certainly wish you all a very happy and safe Thanksgiving and a prosperous holiday season ahead. We're talking about Thanksgiving and the great Thanksgiving deer hunt. And I fall back to when I was young, when I was a kid. I looked so forward to that break that we used to get, whether it was in high school or college, around the Thanksgiving holiday. I remember we used to get out of school on Tuesday, so we would have Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve off, and of course the holiday, and then Black Friday and into the weekend. And those were interesting hunts. I mean, I can always remember it starting to get a little colder, actually a lot colder at times. There'd probably be snow on the ground. And it looks like we're kind of heading in the direction for all of that here in the Northeast this year. But the Thanksgiving hunt was a big deal. It was a time when we'd usually have a pretty good hunting party, and a lot of folks would be in town, obviously. And then when I got into college, it was often my best chance to spend some quality time in the woods, because I would get at least a week off. I think they shortened it later on in my college years. We would have school on Monday and Tuesday. I can't quite remember, but there was a year or two where that happened. And then, of course, you enter the working world, and you never know what happens then. But fond memories of all those years, high school, college, looking back on the Thanksgiving hunts. Story I've got for you now involves a Thanksgiving Day buck, but it also involves two other bucks. And it all started in Thanksgiving Day in 1978. My Uncle Jim Ladd, one heck of a deer hunter, folks, as good of a tracker as I have ever known. Uncle Jim hunted a lot when he was young, and he just, it seems like in the 1970s, you know, the hunting party that my dad was part of, I was a kid, it didn't seem like they got a lot of deer. They maybe one or two a year if they were lucky, sometimes more. But it always seems like Uncle Jim was around those deer, and he was often the guy pulling the trigger. And in 1978, on Thanksgiving Day, he killed the biggest buck of his life. It was a massive, thick-beam 10-pointer. We didn't weigh our deer back in those days, but if we did, everyone in our group agrees that this was probably one of the few bucks anyone ever took in our group that actually weighed 200 pounds. Now, 200 pounds is a big deer for the Adirondacks. Case in point, we just shot a buck, which I'll be talking about, and it was a very big buck rack-wise, but it only went 122 pounds, and when we skinned this buck, there was no fat on him. Now, the previous bucks we've killed this year, I got a beautiful 8-pointer opening day. Another one of our guys got a 9-pointer. My buck was 122 pounds. The other was 140. Both of those bucks were laden with fat. But this buck that we just killed here on November 23rd, another nice 10-pointer, had no fat on him. These bucks are running does. They're chasing deer. They're putting on miles. So they're burning that fat off. So it's no, it's explainable why they came in on the light side. But getting back to Uncle Jim's big 10-pointer, that was just a big deer. We just remember how big it looked hanging in my uncle's garage, you know, its feet touching the floor. We couldn't say that about a lot of the bucks we killed. And we can only remember that was the case with one or two or three over the years. When we started weighing deer, we started really coming down to reality of the fact that they weren't as big as we probably thought they were. And that's why we use the scales today. We weigh them all. But anyways, Uncle Jim shot that buck, and it went on to be, it was one of his last bucks that he shot. Even though he hunted for a number of years after, they just didn't come so easy anymore. And that's another lesson in hunting, you know, enjoy it while you can. But 30 years later, okay, 30 years later, I believe it was to the date, I actually killed my first and only 10-pointer of my life up to this point. And I killed that buck with our party, looked at the date. The date was November 23rd. When I started looking back at Uncle Jim's buck, I realized that he also killed his buck, his 10-pointer, on October 23rd. And so I wrote a little story about that in my weekly newspaper column in a paper called The Chronicle in Glens Falls that I wrote for a number of years before I came to New York Outdoor News. And it was a pretty interesting story. Everyone seemed to enjoy it, and I wrote around that right around Thanksgiving time. And that's the way it was until about a week ago. Just recently, we had small party show up for our hunting day. We're hoping to have a bigger party. It turns out some folks are sick. Some folks got things going on with their lives. And as it turned out, we only had five guys, and two of them were sick with colds. So we said, well, let's go make a couple drives that are a little closer to the hunting camp and a little easier for the guys to move around in. And that's what we were doing when I heard my cousin shoot twice. I get over to him, and he's got a beautiful 10-point buck laying down. So as we do when we get a buck like that, we just kind of savor the moment. You know, we take it in. We relax. We're not in a hurry. We talk about how it happened. We laugh and joke and carry on and savor that moment. And the beauty of it was this was only like 9:30 in the morning. So we had all day to enjoy this. And we really didn't have that far to drag the buck because we were hunting pretty close to where the hunting camp is in this particular location. So as we're kind of fooling around, there's a couple of us there and enjoying things. I realized what the date was. And I realized that this was the third 10-point buck killed on this day. So that was the story of that buck. And I don't know, I'm probably going to go dig out that story I wrote about Uncle Jim's buck in 1978. And I'm probably going to go and update that story, and maybe we'll put it in a future column in New York Outdoor News, maybe next year, you know, when we get around deer season. So, but that's the story of the three 10-point bucks, with one of them taken on Thanksgiving Day and all of them taken on the same day. That is, if my dates are correct in my mind. If I'm not, I apologize up front, but I do believe that was the case. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more from episode number 60 of the Great Northeast Podcast. We'll be right back after this.
Like every serious angler in this region, I want to make the most of my time on the water. That's why I read OutdoorNews.com. This all-new digital resource is loaded with valuable tips, lake profiles, up-to-date fishing reports, gear reviews, and breaking news on laws and regulations that affect the sports we love. Plus, OutdoorNews.com will help you catch more and bigger fish. Be prepared and get ahead of the crowd. Join OutdoorNews.com today.
There's a great program available for youth who love to hunt and fish. It's called the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team, and any youth 18 or under can join for free at jrproteam.com. JPT program showcases useful videos and tips to help encourage the next generation to become stronger anglers and hunters. It's a platform to celebrate and inspire those outdoor loving youth. Check out the photos of Outdoor News Junior Pro Team members on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, and visit our jrproteam.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, wishing everyone a happy Thanksgiving here as we record episode 60 of the Great Northeast Podcast. And once again, we want to thank everyone for your support, not just with the podcast, but reading the paper, the publication. We know people enjoy it. They tell us all the time. And if there's something they don't enjoy, they tell us that too. And hey, that's okay. That's what we have letters to the editor for, and opinion page and things like that. This is everyone's paper. I like to look at it that way. I like to think of it as the fact that it exists for everybody. And my job is just to kind of keep it all together in an organized form so that you can read and enjoy it. But anyways, we're talking about Thanksgiving here on the Great Northeast Podcast. And not just Thanksgiving Day, which is a traditional hunting day for many of you, but I know that for others, maybe they can't get away. You know, kids are out of school. They've got things going on. Some people have traditions like football games and parades and all kinds of stuff. Who knows? But for me growing up, it was always hunting. And I can't remember since the year I turned 14 when I didn't enter the woods to hunt on Thanksgiving Day. Now, as I say that, we've got an interesting storm bearing down on us here. And if I do go hunting, it will be in the southern zone, which requires about a 40-minute drive for me. So, I don't know. I'm going to try my best not to break that tradition, but we'll see what the storm does. I'm certainly not going to risk a safety factor just to spend a few hours trying to harvest an antlerless deer in the middle of a storm. But at the same time, I really do hope to get out there and be in the woods on Thanksgiving Day. Backing up, I filled my buck tag earlier in the season, so I have an antlerless tag, and that's what I'm trying to fill here when I go hunting alone. And we're going to see what happens there. And then once the black powder seasons come, I'll be back at it pretty heavy and spending some time in the Adirondacks with my black powder rifle, which is one of my favorite things. But getting back to this weekend, you know, the Thanksgiving hunt isn't just about Thanksgiving Day. It's about the whole weekend. And while it's not happening for us this year, many years, it's like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday type of deal. I mean, we've got a crew, folks are staying in camp, and we're getting out there and putting it in for 4 days. But other times, we've been subdued by the weather, and that's something that could happen here, depending on how much snow we get. But I can remember one of them storms I mentioned, I think it was the one in 2014. We got about 10 inches of snow, and that'll slow you right down. That'll cut you right back in a hurry, I'll tell you. If you're someone like me who likes to really walk in the woods and making deer drives and climbing mountains and things of that nature, you can wear yourself out pretty quick. And, you know, we're just a little more, I don't want to say we're wimping out, but we have a different approach to it these days because we have a lot of aging hunters in our group, and we just don't go as hard as we used to. One final Thanksgiving weekend hunting story I want to share with you goes back to about 7 or 8 years ago, and it happened on Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend, and we had a young man with us who was home from college at the time, and we had some inclement weather, and it had slowed us down. And on that Sunday morning, what I remember about that was the rain, sleet, snowstorm was supposed to make its way out of the area about 9 or 10 in the morning. So we all agreed that we would just let that pass, and then once it was over, we would head for the woods, which is, I'll tell you what, as soon as the storm is over, that's a great time to head for the woods. I just did that this week. We had a rainstorm here during the morning, and as soon as it was over, I scooted over to our southern zone place and sat there and watched seven deer for the sunset and just couldn't get a poke at either of them, any of them. Couldn't. I was trying to fill my doe permit here, my antlerless deer tag, and that's easier said than done. You know, they don't always lay their head on the end of your gun barrel. But I won't get into the circumstances of that, but I just didn't get the shot I wanted. Back to this hunt. We had some pretty nasty weather. We let it ride. We all met at the hunting location, foggy, gray type of weather, and we said, okay, we got time to make like two drives. So we did the first one, and not much was happening. And I was taking one of the young hunters, this young hunter who was out of college, around on the watches for the second drive, which is, once we set it up, it only takes about, maybe a half hour to make this drive. And one of the things I told him when I put him on watch was, don't mess with your phone. Just stay focused here, because a lot of times as soon as the drivers start, it's not just a few minutes and the deer are in front of you. And it turned out to be exactly like that morning. We knew the drive was getting going, and probably maybe 8-10 minutes in, kabang, I heard this young man shoot over there. Well, we got over to him, and he explained what happened, and he didn't move. He just waited for us to come. My cousin and I started looking for the deer, and sure enough, we found a couple specks of blood, and then we found the buck. And what we had was a 7-point piebald buck that this kid had shot. So when my cousin hollered out, "Hey, it's a piebald," the young man who shot it said, "What's a piebald?" True story. You know, he didn't know. And we said, "Well, geez, didn't you notice that when it came out, you know, that it had this white on it?" And he said, "Well, you know, I just thought it was kind of had some snow on it from the storm," which made a lot of sense. But this young man, who was just a college kid at the time, had himself a nice piebald buck, and it was the talk of the town. Quick story about that deer. A few years earlier, while making a deer drive on not this mountain, but the one next to it, I started following some deer through the woods. I kept catching glimpses of them, and one stood out, and I kept getting closer every time I'd bump them, and I realized that I was looking at a white deer, and it was a fawn. It looked just like a goat, and those deer, there was three of them, wound up coming by one of our other hunters, and he said, "Yes, that's almost a pure white deer." And then a year later, there was a gentleman who worked in the area. He was a caretaker for a local property owner. He had spotted the deer, and he said it was a spike horn. Well, here we were 2-3 seasons later taking this 7-point buck that was a pure piebald. I wrote about that in one of my columns in New York Outdoor News because it was quite a story and quite a unique thing. And for me, it was quite an experience. It's one of the ones I'll take with me from Thanksgiving Day and Thanksgiving weekend through the years. So, hey, folks, that's our podcast for this issue. We hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You get to spend it with family and close friends. And we hope you also, during the holiday seasons, think of those who are less fortunate. Most of all, we hope you get out there and enjoy the great outdoors, squeeze in some hunting time. Maybe you're still fishing. Whatever it is, we hope you've got a big buck on your meat pole and a fish in your net. Happy Thanksgiving. From the Great Northeast Podcast and New York Outdoor News, I'm Dan Ladd.
Missed a past episode of the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast? You can find previous programs at OutdoorNews.com or via your favorite podcast streaming platform. And for the rest of the story on the topics we cover on this program, get yourself a subscription to Outdoor News. Simply call 800-535-5191 or visit us at OutdoorNews.com. And don't forget to join us again here in 2 weeks to talk everything out of doors. Thanks for listening to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast.